Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
And, so what's going on?
Ha! Nothing.
Nothing?
Oh, no, yeah. No, I actually...
There was something I know you wanted to discuss.
I have a few things. Well, yeah. Just a few things, because we're recording a few episodes today, so I want to save one for the other,
I haven't decided exactly
what I... Did you want to talk about wrestling, actually, like wrestling shows, or did you want to talk about wrestling video games?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm asking you. You gotta pick something.
Let's do shows because I haven't done either. So
okay. So I did watch a little bit of wrestling. And here's the thing: like, I have a regular job where I produce podcasts, and in addition to this one, and this is so I have a very tight schedule sometimes, and I've been doing some stuff and here and there, and so when it comes time to unwind, either I'm playing some games or I'm just reading or doing something else, and I haven't taken too many moments to sit down and just watch wrestling on YouTube or on the network. So
yeah, I haven't watched wrestling on the network in weeks.
Yeah, I feel, and it sucks because there's a lot of cool stuff that's been uploaded there. If you noticed,
my $9.99 a month is just falling by the wayside. I don't watch it enough as I should.
Well, so. I watch the pay per views.
Yeah,
and if they do pay to a month, I mean, that's already pays for that.
Yeah,
that's what I was concerned is that for paying just to watch the pay per view in your own home for $10.
But I don't watch NXT. I don't watch 205 Live, and I should because I'm paying for it and I need to watch those. So
for some reason, I watch NXT every week.
Good. I wish I did. I wish I had that kind of discipline.
I don't know why, but it's something where it's like I feel invested, even though, and it's something, it's funny because last night Jen was like, she's like, oh, it doesn't seem as good as it used to be. And I was kind of like, yeah, you're right. Because what happened is, like with NXT, a lot of those big stars that were making NXT a big deal back when it was getting all that buzz and it really made this impact, and it really kind of set them up as as the developmental territory of all wrestling. All those guys and girls got called up to the main roster, or they're not with the company or whatever. So right now we've been kind of treading water with Bobby Roode and trying to make stars. He's obviously a star, but we're trying to make sure that he's making himself he's a big enough star to carry that brand. And I think Bobby Roode is fine. I've never been excited to watch anything with him in it, but he's okay. He's got a great song, obviously. He's got a great entrance, but as a wrestler, he just never really does much for me.
I saw his there was a YouTube video on how they composed his song.
Did they?
I thought that was pretty cool.
Actually, that sounds like I have to find that, because that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
But obviously he's a champion. And I do like, guys like Authors of Pain. I think they've really stepped it up and just stood out. And the stuff they did with Gargano and Ciampa was really good.
All these guys you're naming, no idea who they are.
Yeah, so the guys, Authors of Pain are managed by Paul Ellering, of all people.
Yeah, okay. So those are the guys who are managed by Paul Ellering. Yeah. He kind of showed up when I stopped watching NXT.
Yeah, they just started and they've been pretty dominant, and I think it's they're actually quite good.
Yeah, and I was like, I remember when he came out and I was like, oh, this is really cool, they're gonna have Paul Ellering, and then I just kind of stopped. I don't know why I stopped watching, but I just stopped watching, and I never, it's just because like when your job like mine is to watch TV,
you don't want to watch
you
TV.
Don't yeah you don't yeah. want to watch TV when you no. get home.
Well, that's the thing with me with podcasting is that I love podcasting, but there's not a lot of moments. We're saying, let's put it this way, unless if I have something to do other than just sit there and listen to podcasting, like if I can play a video game or I'm driving, I don't really want to just sit there and just listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
That's really the point of podcasting, is that you can and take it in while you're doing something else. But sometimes I just listen to so many podcasts, just stuff that I'm putting together, that I just don't want to listen to anything else. And it's the same thing with wrestling, where I can imagine with you watching TV and just like, I don't want to look at a box.
Yeah, totally.
That's something that that's why actually I like what we do here at the magazines, because you get to pick up a magazine. Or in my case, sometimes I'll pick up comic books or trades or something like that and just read that, just cleanse the palate. But I did watch NXT last night, and as I do watch it every week, and it's not bad. I mean, I like Sanity. I think Jen doesn't like them because she thinks they're like 90s retreads of something. But Eric Young's group, do you know about this?
No, I don't know anything about this.
Okay, so there's this group called Sanity.
Okay, and Eric Young is involved in it?
Eric Young, what happened was he came back, like when Samoa Joe was champion, Eric Young came back for like a second. You know, he just got released from TNA or he was done with TNA and he came in. He was like, I'm Eric Young and I'm here to challenge you. And he challenged him for like a match. And then he went away for a little while. And then he came back with this group called Sanity, where basically they're dressed like Mad Max, like kind of, sleeveless vests. Mm-hmm. And
that's kind of how he dressed.
Yeah, he's kind of dressed, but it's more like, you know, he's got like just more grody, you know, and their theme music sounds like Primus.
Uh-huh.
If you're familiar with the band Primus, you know, it sounds like My Name Is Mud or something.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, they have like flashlights and shit, and it's, you know, they're about, you know, breaking down the, you know, whatever, the society or whatever. And basically they're just grody heels. And they have, so it's him and there's a bunch of other jobbers in the group, you know, like these jobbers they weren't using. NXT guys they weren't using, and they put them in there, and then now they have this British guy they signed, this Big Damo. I think it's Big Damo. That's how you say it. And he's this big British guy with long hair and a beard, and he's all hairy and he's gross and shit. And he's like their big tank. And then they have a girl named Nikki Cross, who's, you know, like kind of like the Luna Vachon of the group. So it's kind of like almost a throwback to Kevin Sullivan stuff, but not nearly as weird, not anywhere near as weird. So anyways, they're feuding with the Authors of Pain, who we talked about. And now they're in Asuka. Do you know Asuka?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
Asuka is still the women's champion.
Yeah.
And she's been the women's champion for like 500 days or something like that. Like she's been a longer champion than like Goldberg ever.
Well, I mean, like in all fairness, who's going to really challenge her for the belt there? They have to like bring in other women.
Well, that's the thing. But they did. Well, what they've been doing is they've been bringing in. They don't really bring in women. They brought back Mickie James for a thing, and now she's on the main roster. And then what they do is they'll heat up a bunch. They'll heat up whatever women they have. Right now, the woman they're heating up is Ember Moon,
mm-hmm.
who's like this, you know, this thick black girl who I think she's awesome, you know, and she does like a top rope stunner where basically it's just her jumping off the top rope, giving a girl, you know, giving the opponent a stunner from the top rope.
Okay.
And it's pretty dynamic looking and stuff like that. And she's pretty good. And they may give her the belt at some point. I don't think she's over. I mean, she's over to the crowd, but I don't know if she's, I just watch some of these women wrestlers, and none of them are Sasha Banks. None of them are Charlotte. None of them are Becky Lynch, you know, no Paige, you know, nothing mm-hmm. like that. They're not, there's nothing like to that level, or Bailey or anything like that. There's nothing to that level that you go, oh my God, this is the shit, you know, but, they do have some good character, female, you know, women characters there. And they're, and I think what they did do is they're going to air it in a few weeks, but the Mae Young Classic, which actually it sounds awesome because they sound like they have some good, different, diverse women wrestlers in that group. And that, you know, I think a lot of them are going to end up maybe, you know, going to the main roster or going to the, you know, being on NXT and being able to challenge for the title. So I'm sorry, you're looking about to say something.
No, I was going to ask about Tessa Blanchard. She's still in the mix?
She's in that group. She's in the tournament.
Oh, okay.
Same thing with Paul Ellering's daughter. Yeah, but Tessa Blanchard's there. And so she might get, she's been on TV a few times, but hasn't really shown up mm-hmm. recently. They have a bunch of like silly characters there, you know, like,
You know what I should do? Because I need to watch NXT. I need to watch 205 Live.
I don't think you need to watch 205
Live. I really think I do. The cruiserweights, I've been wanting cruiserweights for so long, and they finally got them, and I don't watch them. I need to watch them.
Well, you got a lot of content to catch up on.
So I think I'm just going to have to force myself every week to watch them, and then maybe I'll do a blog about it. Because if I commit myself to a blog, that'll get me to actually watch it.
Or you can come on here and we can talk about
it. Yeah, that's true. But
we could always do that.
Yeah, that's true. We can always do that too.
So
I have to commit myself to watching NXT and 205 Live. I just don't want to turn this into an NXT 205 Live recap podcast.
Oh no, it won't be. It won't be because we got other stuff to talk about. But you know, like kayfabe.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about you know, NXT and the product is pretty good. You know, there's actually the one reason why I did want to talk about it is I was watching the show last night and they had these. So they debuted this new team called the Street Profits.
Okay.
And there's this.
Are they black?
How'd you know?
With a name like the Street Profits, I would have to imagine so.
Yeah. So one's D'Angelo Dawkins, who's like this jobber guy that's been there forever. And the other one is like, I think his name is D'Angelo Williams. I'm probably getting it wrong, but I think he's like an ex-football player and he's super athletic.
Yeah, I was going to say D'Angelo Williams is the name of, he used to play, I can't remember.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else because maybe there's another one. There's another football player that just wrestled on TNA.
Oh, okay.
So I'm getting him mixed up.
Yeah, I think he played for Carolina as D'Angelo Williams. So
I think that's the DNA guy, but maybe it's not. But anyway, so they had this team and they were debuting last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have this thing where they come to the ring with like those solo cups and they have a Snapchat and chains, and it's actually a very like, and it just feels very, I don't know, it's a very starter gimmick.
Yeah,
right. And that's not the gimmick. That's fine, and they do that all the time, and that's fine, and it's gonna be, I'm certain they'll probably get over and whatever, but because and the football player guy, whoever he is, he's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
because he's super athletic and he's gonna probably at some point he's gonna break off and probably be bigger. And then here's also your other thing too that I want to point out about this team real quick before I get to this other thing, that Angelo Dawkins, he has this taunt where he just does this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm pantomiming is he's just kind of bowl and he's stirring it.
Yeah.
I know what it's from, but I can't stand it.
Oh, okay. What is it from?
So apparently there's a basketball player. I don't know who it is. He used to play for the Rockets or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't follow basketball, so I don't know for certain. That he would do that, kind of like stir in the pot or something like that. But this guy does it all the time. Like, it's like, you know, like when you're playing as a wrestler and you're playing a game and somebody doesn't know how to play the game and they just keep hitting the taunt button. And he just keeps doing that. It's all he fucking does. And he's not that good of a wrestler. And it just that's what aggravates me about the team. Like, the other guy's really good. This guy sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just about gimmick about that stuff and whatever. But actually what they did real quick is they wrestled these guys called the Metro Brothers. And it was just two dudes dressed like fucking Grease cosplayers.
Yeah.
Like, they just had it was the laziest, like, outfit I feel like I've seen in wrestling at some time, where just two dudes wearing white t-shirts and black pants.
That's awesome.
But I mean, I don't know. I didn't think the throwbacks or when it was a Deuce and Domino, that never did anything for me.
Yeah.
And this is basically like the same thing, but it's not based on that. It's based on like we're Metro or something. Yeah. And like they have some stupid name, but
Deuce and Domino had cool theme music though. I liked it. And they came to the ring in that car.
Did they come to the ring in the car every time?
I don't know if it was every time, but
they weren't very good. No. I Cliff Compton is very funny. I've heard him on many podcasts, and he seems like he, you know, would have been a bigger star if he was probably, maybe, who knows, if he was just, maybe bigger or just a better in the ring. He does well in the indies, I think, but, you know, and Deuce Domino or Deuce or Jimmy Snuka's son, you know, that guy, I don't know. I never found him to be anything. Like, he had like a solo run when he got drafted to Raw, and then they basically threw him in WrestleMania so he can catch the Undertaker, and he didn't. Remember that? It was during one of Shawn Michaels Undertaker's matches, and the Undertaker did his dive, and he was posing as a cameraman. And thing where Shawn Michaels rags a cameraman in his way when the Undertaker hits him, but he's supposed to catch the Undertaker, and he didn't really catch the Undertaker. Like, the Undertaker just basically kind of almost fell straight down.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's take a break.
Yeah, and we'll take a break. We'll come back. And speaking of Tessa Blanchard, I'm going to discuss her a little bit more as we have The Wrestler from February of 1987.
It's a very poignant book.
And how does she fit in with The Wrestler of 1987? Well, you'll find out after the break.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we're back. And so Tessa Blanchard this past week tweeted her stepfather is Magnum T.A.
Mm-hmm.
Her father is Tully.
Wait, so is that how that is? I thought her father... No, father was Magnum T.A.
No, her stepfather is Magnum T.A. Her father is Tully Blanchard. Yeah.
Okay.
So Tully Blanchard knocked up her mom. They had her. Then her mom married Magnum T.A. is basically how it happened. Or maybe Tully Blanchard and her mom were married at one point, then divorced. I don't know. I don't know the whole logistics.
That's a hell of a weird fate.
It is. But I mean, it actually happens more often than not in other sports. So it kind of makes like in hockey, a lot of hockey players recycle wives.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's like.
Did you know Kelly Kelly's married to a hockey player?
No, but that makes sense.
He's married to some guy that played Sheldon Surrey or something.
Okay. Sheldon Surrey. Yeah.
For the Stars or whatever. Yeah. There was a whole E! Show where it was just about wives of hockey players, I think.
Yeah.
And that she was on it. Anyways.
So Tessa Blanchard tweeted out, and we're going to cash in on this because it's a trending topic.
Okay. So let me preface this real quick.
Uh-huh.
I was out for the past couple of days
in
Vegas for a bachelor party, and I didn't really check my wrestling news like I used to, but I did keep up on it. Now, what you're about to talk about, I have no idea it happened.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything about this. So when you texted me this morning and said, hey, we need to do, this is what Joe said. He said, we need to talk about this book because of what happened with Magnum T.A. at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to ask you what it is because I want you to explain to me what the fuck happened to Magnum Terry Allen.
Yeah.
At Disneyland.
Yeah, I said Disneyland in the text. It's actually Disney World in Florida, but whatever. That's right,
because if it was Disneyland, it would be out here.
Yeah.
And I would have been actually disappointed me more because I was like, oh man, I could have seen this happen.
So Magnum T.A. and his wife, Tessa Blanchard's mother, and her little siblings, I guess she has younger siblings that are still kids, which, believe it or not, that's kind of weird thinking that like Magnum T.A. is a father of like adolescent kids. That like to me
that is weird.
Yeah, his kids would be like older, but whatever, that's not part of the story. Well, that is part of the story. So they went on a family vacation to Disney World. They, you know, Disney World's expensive, and Magnum T.A., yeah, he probably made some money back in the 80s, but he's not a rich man by any means.
No, because of what happened to him. I mean he probably has like a contract, you know, like a Legends deal or something.
Yeah, like probably like a Legends.
They made figures of him and shit.
Yeah, but, yeah. So, but he's not rich.
And I think he was working like with cell phone towers or some shit. Mm-hmm. Last time I heard.
So he, you know, he's just a working man making an honest living. They just saved a
working
up,
man.
Saved up his money
working
and
hard with his hands.
Took his family on a vacation to Disney World. So they get to the Magic Kingdom, and Magnum T.A., because of his accident, he travels around in a Segway. He can't move. Like he's paralyzed pretty much.
I thought he was doing better.
Yeah, he is, but like he can't walk.
Well, right, he's still he's pretty much crippled,
he can't walk, and his right hand, I guess, is completely useless. Like it's like Bob Dole when he was running for president.
Yeah.
His hand would always just be like in a, so that's how Magnum T.A. is. So he uses a Segway to get around, and then when he gets there,
you mean a Rascal or a Segway?
It's a Segway. Yeah.
Oh, like a standing Segway?
Yeah, standing Segway.
Okay.
That's how he gets around.
So he's like Job from
Velvet. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm now picturing this in a certain way. Go ahead.
So he gets to Disney World and they're like, yeah, we don't allow Segways here. So you're not allowed. They didn't allow him in. So the family couldn't get into Disney World. So they only had, he was like, oh, give me a wheelchair with you know, like one of those scooter wheelchairs.
Hey, Rascal.
Yeah, Rascal. Like what you said, but they only had the ones with right-handed controls. he can't use his right hand. His right hand's completely done. Mm-hmm. He can only use his left hand. So basically, they were like, nope, we don't have those. You're going to have to use a wheelchair. And he can't use a wheelchair because he can only use one hand. He can't wheel himself with a wheelchair. So they wouldn't allow him on the Segway in Disney World. And they got turned away at the park. And it's been all over Twitter all week because of this.
Really?
Yeah. So in Disney World, I don't think they've made a statement about it. Nothing has been done to rectify. See, if I'm Magnum TA, I'm like, okay, you know what? That stinks. Let me go rent a scooter from another place and come back tomorrow. That's just me. That's me.
I would go thinking, if you're Magnum TA,
yeah,
you would just be like, yeah, exactly. If you've already been like, hey, we need to go rent a scooter, just find,
yeah,
which I'm certain that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I don't. Yeah. Like I said, I'm gonna give Magnum TA and his situation the benefit of the doubt,
because yeah,
it's one of those things where if I showed up in his situation and I was like, I want to get in, and it's like, okay, well, give me a scooter or give me a Rascal, and they're like, well, we only have these, and I'd be like, fuck, you know, I'd be pretty pissed, and I probably wouldn't be thinking, maybe I should just get, you know, because what you have to do is, you know, drive all the, you know, find the place, drive over there, get that place, come back, you know, because you really want to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if that's what you want to do, but yeah, it's probably, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal as far as them wanting to actually go. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was, you know what, maybe it was because they had kids.
Yeah. They had kids. So Tessa Blanchard tweeted out that, you know, the whole situation, then her younger sister, tweeted something about it as well. And, you know, everyone's getting, I'm on Magnum TA's side here too. I mean, like, I don't want to sound like insensitive to a situation. They could have just been like, you know,
here's another thing too. This is something I got to play devil's advocate a little bit here. If you're going to Disneyland, maybe, you know, and you obviously have a condition.
Yeah.
You have a situation like Magnum TA does. You have to get around on a Segway. You should find out if they allow Segways.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Before you go. Yeah. To the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
Not that I'm saying, but maybe, and look, maybe they just didn't do that, and I understand, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Because you just assume everybody should be welcome in there.
Yeah.
You know, so it shouldn't be a situation, but apparently it was. And that's, yeah, that sucks for him and his kids. When you told me about it, I thought it was, because you didn't really say anything much more than Disneyland, I was, yeah, like, did he like belly to belly Mickey or something? like what happened? Like,
yeah,
this sounds like it was, this sounds good. Could have been bad news or something.
No, there was no belly to belly to Mickey Mouse or anything like that.
I would have, or Tessa Blanchard gave, you know, Donald Duck a slingshot suplex.
Yeah. I mean, it's an unfortunate situation. It could have been avoided, but I still feel bad for Magnum because, you know, it sucks going through life that, like that, and then you're, yeah, like, getting turned away at Disney World of all places.
Well, speaking of that,
yeah,
so the issue of the wrestler, is from February 1987. So this kind of dates back to, I can actually check October 29th. So this goes up to October 29th, 1986.
Okay.
So February 1987 is the date, and it's the wrestler. And on the cover it says, tragedy strikes wrestling. Magnum TA needs your prayers now more than ever. And it's a picture of Magnum TA looking off to the side. Mm. Big picture of Magnum TA. And then you have...
And he's the only wrestler on the cover.
Only wrestler on the cover.
Usually these magazines have other wrestlers and stuff, but they just have... This one is just Magnum TA. It's a very serious photo.
Yeah.
A very candid photo. And... it's got a photo of his the accident. The Porsche. Yeah.
The inset, and on the inset, there's a photo of the Porsche that looks, you know, it's just wrecked.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, wrapped it around a tree pretty much, and that really sucks.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in this book, we have on the very top, Rick Steamboat and Jake Roberts, the cold-blooded feud that just won't end. Also on the bottom, we have some other headlines. The Kremlin claims another American. Bam Bam Bigelow becomes Crusher Yurkov.
Yeah, I never knew this even happened.
So. I am shocked by that.
Yeah.
Making of a Champion, 1986, how Terry Gordy is winning his battles for respect. And lastly, the Wildcat Surprises, Slick Rick, Wendell Cooley stakes his claim in the NWA. So we are star-studded in this issue.
It's going to be confusing because it's a February of 87, but they're still talking about 86. Because that's how it was back then. It would be February, but it would come out in like November. So those magazines, that was a weird time.
It was a weird time because instead of just being like, oh, here's the date and this is when it actually happened, it's like they didn't do it that way. So let's see here. So we'll just go through this. What is the big scuttlebutt outside of Hulk Hogan or outside of Magnum here?
The Hogan Orndorff feud is being discussed here. Hogan and Orndorff wrestled each other 11 times October.
Yeah. And during most of that time, Orndorff was injured. Caused him to make his, I don't know if I mentioned this in one of our episodes where I was watching him on TV, watching him on something, and I really noticed how that left arm is much smaller than the right.
Yeah.
You know, because of, you know, the injury he suffered and just not taking the time off to heal. So, and then we just, you know, it's kind of the way that they, you know, this is like just their information, the what's happening.
Yeah.
Big letters, what's happening. What else here? We got
Stan Hansen showed up in Puerto Rico.
He's in Puerto Rico. Yeah. We got Dingo Warrior feuding with Buzz Sawyer. We got Jimmy Snuka. Oh, badly injured during a match against Colonel DeBeers.
Yeah,
doctors say the odds against him returning to the odds are against him returning to the ring. But Snuka, a gutsy competitor who has bounced back from adversity, insists he'll be back to recover. And he's like, "Brother, I'll be back."
Yep. And he gave a thumbs up.
He gave the shakas, whatever, the I love you.
Oh, yeah. That's probably what he gave.
Trying to get
from his hospital bed in a gown. But yeah, this is one of those magazines where you have to flip to the back to read the rest of the article. And
he basically got pile drived like a whole shit ton by
Colonel
DeBeers. Because this was back when he was... You know, obviously, there was never a point where Colonel DeBeers wasn't racist.
Yeah.
He was always racist. And he was taking Jimmy Snuka to task. Oh, yeah. He's just, here's Prime DeBeers. Says, DeBeers treated the incident with his usual disdain and lack of concern. I cannot be worried about a black person, DeBeers said, apparently referring to the Polynesian Snuka. You must really realize that a member of the inferior race... As a member of the inferior race, he is taking a chance when he steps into the ring with such a superior human. Let him suffer. I have Bockwinkel to worry about. Woof. Let's see what else. There are Central States tournament. Rick Morton is getting shots against Ric Flair. You know, stuff going on there. John Tatum and Jack Victory beat the Fantastics for the UWF tag team titles. And Sunshine is there. And Larry Zbyszko has a 6'4", 280-pound Kabuki super ninja as his bodyguard. Who was that? I don't remember. Was it? I always felt it was just a regular ninja. I didn't realize he had a super ninja.
Oh, he was super.
Super ninja. Oh, here's a favorite segment. You Asked Us. One of my favorite segments in The Wrestler because the fans asked the questions and Stu Sachs and Bill Apter write the answers that the wrestlers apparently said. And let's see. Jimmy Snuka, why did you leave the WWF to go to the AWA? And will you make a return to the WWF? And he says, I know that McMahon had a few things to say about me, and I'm never going back there.
Oh, he's never going back.
Never going back.
Never going back until WrestleMania 5.
Which was always weird to me because they just were like, hey, let's have Ronnie Garvin and Dino Bravo come out. And before we start the match, here's Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah.
And then he leaves. And it had nothing to do with that. I mean, other than probably he feuded with Jimmy Garvin or with Dino Bravo at some point. But
yeah. I don't even remember if he feuded with Dino Bravo.
He just showed. Actually, I think he went right into like fighting Honky Tonk. Like that was his kind of thing. He just wouldn't run into.
Yeah, wasn't he on the Brother Love show? And then Honky Tonk attacked him with the guitar, and that's kind of how it happened.
Maybe I think they brought him back, and he just feuded with Honky Tonk, and then he just kind of faded, and you know, just was there.
Yeah, you know? He didn't do much. He didn't do much after that.
Just showed up on a few Survivor Series teams, and that was about it.
Yeah, he wore boots towards the end.
He did wear boots. I think the boots look was good. I think his tiger print boots and tights were awesome.
Yeah, he had that loincloth.
Yeah.
And the boots. I don't know. I didn't like it. And the goatee. I don't know.
I thought that was a good look. I thought he was good there. But
he has a terrible action figure, the Hasbro one.
Oh, yeah, because he's got that stupid move where you just push him down and he goes boing.
But they made his torso so huge. Like, it's very unproportional.
Well, because that's how they had to do the toy.
Yeah,
that's how they did it with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And
with all the the Shawn Michaels rocker figure, too, has the huge torso.
Shawn Michaels rocker.
But, like the Brutus Beefcake one didn't have a huge torso.
Yeah, he did.
It was bigger, but not as big as, like, the Jimmy Snuka and Shawn Michaels ones.
What else did they do with that? I think there's a Macho Man that they did.
Yeah, there's
like
a Macho Man one, but he has the jacket on.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to have the big torso.
Yeah, yeah.
Big torso figures.
Trying to think if there's another one they did. No. Yeah, so...
The new Triple H figure has that.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Like the bouncy?
Yeah, because they have the new Hasbro line figures.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I sent you a picture of that, but maybe I didn't see Triple H.
The Triple H one has it. It's an Attitude Era Triple H.
Oh, okay.
And he's got that feature.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hope I get to see those on the stores soon.
I'm just going to go on Amazon and get them all. I don't know why I don't own them. I should own all of them.
Well, they're not out yet.
Well, I'm talking about the previous figures.
Oh.
The ones I have seen those in the store, and I was like, oh, these are really cool, and I never bought them. I should just buy them.
Wait, you've actually seen them?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw like the Kevin Owens one, and I think I saw Roman Reigns in the store. Mm. So I was like, oh, man, I should buy these. And I know somebody who owns all of them, so... All the ones that were released. But there's a cool picture of Chris Adams with a super kick. So
yeah.
I like that.
Giving Torrey Gordy a super kick because they're asking him about what's the difference between UWF and world class.
They never had a super kick figure, like an action for a super kick in those figures, which should have been.
I think I feel like the WCW ones that they did with Toy Biz, because they had a lot of weird ones of those too. And those had action features.
Yeah.
Because they're basically like X-Men figures.
Yeah, I didn't have too many of those figures. I only had I had Diamond Dallas Page, and I think that was it, really.
They had like a lot of guys that I didn't realize they made.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think like some weird
ones. There was in the 90s, there was so many of those wrestling figures that came out.
Too many.
Because that's when I stopped collecting, because I was like, oh, there's just too many now. I can't keep up, because I knew I'd have to have them all. And I couldn't keep up, so...
Yeah.
I had the first few series of the Jack Specifics, and then that was it. I kind of stopped.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Nothing really much to get into here.
Except for Bam Bam Bigelow thumbs down, because he turned his back on America.
That's right, he did.
I did not know that he did this. I have to find footage of this, because...
I don't think it was very long he did it for. He was only in wherever it was, Memphis or... Was it World Class? Like, I think it was World Class.
Did he wear red?
No, he just dressed like Bam Bam did, like early Bam Bam did, except for without the flames, because he's just wear like the singlet. And
okay,
the thing.
The singlet,
black singlet.
Yeah, I saw the photos of it, but they were black and white, so I didn't know what color it was.
No, I don't think he ever dressed in. I mean, to my knowledge, he didn't.
Did he bring a Russian flag?
I don't.
A Russian manager?
I don't think he did. I think he just was like, I'm Russian. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Thumbs down to Rick Rude, who they give a lot of shit to because he decided to jump from World Class to NWA and just become a tag team wrestler.
Yeah, they were like...
Which is kind of right.
Yeah, they were like, you should have taken over for Magnum TA's spot and won the hearts of the fans, but instead you were replaced... And instead, that went to a Russian. So that's what they're like. So speaking of the Honky Tonk Man, they're introducing him on a one-page article.
No, there's two pages.
Oh, yeah, there's another page continued in the back.
So basically what they imply here is, and this is actually kind of like a non-kayfabe-ish issue, or a thing where they're like, well, actually, no, this is something they do all the time. So maybe I should take that back, because they're like, hey, so introducing the Honky Tonk Man, but you guys all know he's not new. You know, it's actually Wayne Ferris, and he used to wrestle in this place and that place. But that's what the WWF does, and they want us to think that.
Yeah.
You know, they want us to think. And to my knowledge, when Honky Tonk Man came out, I had no idea who he was.
Yeah, I only watched WWF at that time.
Because he was only, doing like the very early Honky Tonk gimmick up in like Stampede or like, Southeast stuff. And like that stuff, obviously, I never... really read, and he wasn't and I don't remember really reading wrestling magazines before that, so I wouldn't have known that he's Honky Tonk Wayne Ferris. Mm-hmm. So they kind of poke on that a bunch, and they're talking about how just saying that he's a new man, and he's retained, but he's still got his identity, and he just kind of goes through like some of the stuff he's done, and I'm trying to think here if there's anything in here that's really interesting here. Not really. They're just basically just like, he's a new man, and here.
Yeah.
Honky, actually, one thing I was saying, because there's a shot of him wrestling Savage, and I feel like, is that a face Savage or a heel Savage versus a face Honky?
I think that that is because, yeah, because Savage is the Intercontinental Champ, it says in that photo. So
I would never think that was a match that happened.
I know that when Honky first came, they tried to push him as a face.
Right, that was the whole thing where they pushed him a face.
It must have just been a really early match. I want to point out the fact that because we love wrestling figure variants and wrestling outfit variants, Honky Tonk Man's wearing a singlet in that photo.
Well, no, he's not wearing a singlet. He's just wearing, and I've seen this a few times, which is always, it is very rare because he's wrestled a few matches with it, but he's wearing the long tights, but he just got suspenders.
Oh, okay.
It's just suspenders.
Oh, yeah, suspenders?
Yeah,
oh,
just okay. Like suspenders. So he's wrestling
I don't think I've ever seen that look.
It's so. I feel like he's only worn it like a few times, and then basically he just wrestled in the tights.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know he had the singlet in WCW with the one strap.
Well, yeah, he always had the one strap.
Because he was overweight.
Well, that's right. The one strap, he started... You know, actually, he didn't start doing the one strap until he left WWF. Because I think he was always just regular, just long tights.
Yeah, just regular tights.
He was in pretty good shape back, I feel like, for like an 80s guy.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I'm sure he probably did a few gimmicks to kind of get him there. You know, when he first started, because you've watched like WrestleMania 3, it's like, he was in pretty good shape.
And you could tell like he was like, because he wasn't huge, like he wasn't like big steroided up like the rest of the guys. So he was just in good shape. He took care of himself.
Yeah.
Probably had a lot of trips to the gym back then.
Yeah, probably hanging and banging with the Hulkster.
The Hulkster was doing steroids and cocaine, according to him, and all the shoot interviews.
So he was doing it, keeping clean.
Yeah.
Walking
the straight and narrow, hanging with Greg Valentine.
Yeah. Nikita Koloff, Q&A. I don't care.
Yeah, he answers some questions.
I do like this photo here of him and Nikita, or Nikita and Ivan just sitting there, like, across from each other, wearing the warm-up stuff, you know, just staring at each other, having a meeting. I like it.
I wonder if how do you emphasize Nikita's accent in the answers? Like,
they just do broken English.
Yeah,
and they just make him. Like here, for instance, like, you know, Bill Apter asks him, "How about the NWA title? You've gone after Flair before, and it appears the timing is just perfect for a series of title shots." And he responds, "You not all stupid, Apter. Magnum TA and Dusty Rhodes, evil enemies of Flair. So now I am ready to take over battle. I am very close to beating Flair for a world championship. This happened very soon." So there you go.
I like how in the shoot interviews, they all talk about how even when like it was only wrestlers around, Nikita would... He would speak in the accent. And then Arn Anderson was just like, "What the hell are you doing, man? There's nobody around. It's just us.
It's really weird to hear him, like, because I've interviewed him a few times, at least once, on Monday Night Mayhem. There's two very weird things about Nikita Koloff that I've witnessed: him with lots of hair and no facial hair, and then also him speaking without the accent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just strange.
His accent was so bad.
It was bad, but he did his best. I mean, he made a somewhat decent career.
Yeah.
I can't say he wasn't around, I think, long enough. Like, had he not left for like that year and then maybe stuck around to like 94, 95-ish and then retired, he probably would have been more remembered outside of people like us. So, wrestling panel, X-Ray. And we have just them talk about, what's his face?
Nick Bockwinkel.
Nick Bockwinkel.
Who by this time was over the hill.
Yeah, but he was still doing good. He was still wrestling good.
Yeah.
He retired shortly, not too long after this, but he was still, you know.
Bob Roop makes his comments.
Bob Roop looks like Nick Nolte here. I like it. Let's see here.
A bunch of other dead guys.
Actually, yeah, let's go back here and see who's dead. Because we have...
Well, Nick Bockwinkel's dead.
Yeah, let's see. Go.
And,
So he's fighting Larry Zbyszko. Larry's alive. Bruno's alive. Killer's passed. Bob Roop is still alive. Buddy's dead. Lou's dead. Vern's dead. So we're doing... Yeah, we're... Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because you guys are old guys, so...
Yeah. Bunch of dead guys. Talking about a dead guy.
It's like, how? I don't know how you sleep with a wrestler. He's dead.
Yeah. That
was... Rick Steamboat and Jake Roberts, the cold-blooded feud that just won't end. This was a feud that I feel like just before I got into wrestling, because I only remember Jake as a face.
Yeah, I don't really remember his heel run very much.
He had a very small, he had the heel run when he first started, and then basically Honky turned him heel, or Honky turned him face. And he had a, but he had a big feud with Jake Roberts and or not Steamboat, and they had the fucking lizards flying around. I do like pointing out here, for some reason, this is how this article starts. In the media roller coaster that is New York, two of the city's biggest heroes, Ron Darling and Rick Steamboat, that's debatable, share a common problem. How in the glare of relentless flashbulb can they hide their faces? Not that they have anything repulsive to hide, cosmetically considered the cream of the crop, their black hair and sleepy Polynesian eyes launching 1,000 hearts. They seek to divert attention away from their pretty faces and focus on their abilities. Both married models, Steamboat's Bonnie, a blonde beauty, and Darling's Tony, a former cover girl.
I don't think Bonnie Steamboat was ever a model.
And then here's another one. Papers loved it, featuring each couple in several obnoxious Sunday supplement spreads, and they have one apparently, the Steamboats at Home in Pursuit of Beauty.
Well, maybe she was a model.
I don't
give a shit about Bonnie Steamboat, to be honest. So I don't care to know her backstory.
I didn't know. I just assumed she was just like, she was just Ricky's wife.
Yeah, that's all I know her as. So whatever.
So this basically is just talking about Steamboat and.
There's no Cheryl Roberts in this feud.
So. No, there isn't. Yeah, it's not wife versus wife.
That would have been cool.
But just talking about how this food keeps fighting. Yeah, they keep fighting each other. And apparently, let's see, gone into retirement. Steamboat is an instant hit in the WWF. Victories over Randy Savage, John Studd, and King Kong Bundy. Didn't, wow, he beat all those guys when he first came in? I don't remember that. I don't remember really seeing anything. I thought he just fought Morocco.
Yeah, I would love to see Steamboat versus Bundy. That'd be an interesting match, so.
It's definitely a clash of styles.
Yeah, it is. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, how do you, as Ricky Steamboat, hit him with your high cross body split? Like, Bundy would just catch you.
No, he's just got to do the karate, the chop.
Yeah, I guess
that's all he's got to do. Or he's got to do, he's got to, like, knock him, you know, like, just find a way to get him off his feet, you know. Or he's just losing by count out.
Yeah.
All those matches are ending by count out. Same thing with John Studd. John Studd's catching you.
Yeah.
You know,
but yeah, you're not pinning John Studd or Bundy. Well, I have to go back and find some footage of those. I can imagine, like, in the vault section of the network, maybe, like, there's got to be some.
It might be on like a
Maple Leaf Gardens card or something.
Yeah, they uploaded a whole bunch of those. I don't think it's on. I don't think none of them really go past. At least I haven't. The ones that wouldn't feature Steamboat don't go past back past 86.
No,
so I haven't really seen. There's a few 85 ones. There's one where he teams with I think it's like Haku against the Hart Foundation, which, by the way, another thing to point out, I put a picture of this up. The Hart Foundation wearing a rare black and white variant. I've never seen that.
Yeah, I saw that photo. Yeah,
it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Kremlin claims another American.
I can't believe this is a thing. I can't believe Bam Bam Bigelow, the former Mid-Southern champion, has moved to world class and embraced the ideology of the Soviet Union and changed his name to Crusher Yurkov.
Yurkov.
Yeah.
Yurkov. Yeah, no, he's...
That's kind of weird. Like,
a Russian.
Like, if I'm going to be a Soviet sympathizer, I'm not going to change my name to a Russian name. I'm going to keep my name.
Yeah.
Like, I get it when you become a Muslim and you take the Muslim name. But, like, that's kind of what they did here, only you become Soviet. And that doesn't make sense. I guess Crusher Khrushchev is the same thing. Like, so I guess when you become Soviet, your first name becomes Crusher. And then you give yourself a Russian last name. And you're Russian, as long as your name's Crusher.
I do want to read this here. Basically kind of giving Bigelow, or Yurkov, the benefit of the doubt. Says, the other half of the story is that Bam Bam Bigelow is a much smarter man than people give him credit for, and has studied Russian philosophy and history for the past 10 years.
Oh.
So for the past 10 years, in between bounty hunter jobs, because that's what he used to do, he was studying Russian philosophy.
So this is like a transformation in the, like, it was coming a mile away. Like, nobody saw it coming, but he, now looking back on it, we're like, we should have saw it coming.
It was something to do, he says, but little by little, I started to realize that their way of doing things was the right way.
It's everything that McCarthy warned us against.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so in mid-August, he wrote to officials in the Soviet Union, and 2 weeks later hopped an Aeroflot plane
to Moscow. There he met with representatives from the Soviet Council of the Control on the Control and Development of Athletics and requested official sanctioning. 2 days later, his standing as a representative of the Soviet Union was approved and Crusher Yurkov was born.
So do the Soviets name you Crusher Yurkov? Is that what happened? Like when
that's what happened. Yeah, he got officially sanctioned.
So they were like, we're going to give you the last name Yurkov. He's like, but my last name's Bigelow. They're like, no, it's Yurkov.
And you're going to be Khrushchev and you're going to be Kulov and you're going to be fucking Petrov.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to change your names, everything. Yeah, that's how it went.
And then I would have asked, what does Machka mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like that's another thing. That's another guy that he's totally doing that thing. So yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically it. And they're just basically like, yeah, you know, he's into Russians now.
Yeah. So yeah, he's just wearing a plain black singlet and
that's all he pretty much wore when he first started. He just wore the singlet and the Triple H, the bike shorts and whatever, and here he is taking on what'd you call it? One of the Young Bloods. And then here he is. Here's a picture of him with Larry Sharp and also Zulu.
Oh, Zulu.
If you watch some some World Class from that time, he's in there. And this guy sucks.
Yeah.
He was just like some.
He looks like he sucks.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he's a shredded Kamala. Yeah. With no like personality.
No, well, Kamala didn't really have personality.
Yeah, he did. He used to go beat his stomach. Go,
oh, I guess so. Yeah.
This guy didn't do anything. This guy was like, I painted my face and I shaved my head, and now I'm married by Larry Sharp, and just deal with it. So he was like some guy, some jobber guy that I read about. But
yeah,
Tragedy Spikes Wrestling, Magnum TA need your prayers now more than ever. I'm not really don't really have much else to say that we've already talked about.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's some photos of Magnum like wrestling and. And then they show that photo of the Porsche again. But yeah, he was in an accident. Everyone knows the story by now. It happened 30 years ago. And he, thankfully, I mean, yeah, he never fully recovered, like to the point where he was wrestling again. But, you know, thankfully he's lived a great life. And
He's had kids.
His legacy will live on. And he's seems like he's in a good place other than this whole Disney World.
Yeah.
And very thankful everything worked out for him. I wish he would have recovered, and I wish he would have kept wrestling, but that just didn't happen.
So. Yeah. Terry Gordy, make being a champion 86. I don't really have much to say here other than I just like that shot of the belt.
Yeah, it's a great belt. It's a great shot of Terry Gordy.
The UWF belt knew how to stick that logo up in front there. Yeah, I feel like that's kind of lost on some of the other old belts.
Yeah.
And UWF always did that right.
Making of a Champion 1986, but this is February of 87's issue.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're almost done.
It's going to confuse me for the duration of this podcast.
And then Wendell Cooley, Alabama champion, wrestled the match of his life.
Stakes his claim in the NWA.
Yeah, basically he just took Flair to the limit and Flair.
It's like a whole four-page spread about Flair versus Wendell Cooley.
It's a big fucking article.
Yeah.
Why is it so much? Why are we talking so much about Wendell Cooley?
Lots of photos with Flair with his feet on the ropes. By lots, I mean two, but that's a lot.
I do like here, when they're talking about the match, this is with his right leg up on the second rope for leverage, Flair covered the exhausted Cooley, seemingly in plain sight of referee Roy, parentheses, don't call me boy George. 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah. I like how they had to point that
out. So Flair had to beat Wendell Cooley by putting his feet on the ropes.
Yeah, because he got took it to the limit.
Wow.
Wendell Cooley. Well, he was like there, yo. Basically, that's what Flair did, though.
This is the first time I think we've ever mentioned Wendell Cooley on this podcast.
He may have. He's probably been on our ratings and stuff like that. He was just basically a mainstay in the South. You know, he did a few WCW appearances, but he's never, you know, he was always one of those guys who, like, I would read about it in these magazines, I'd be like, oh, that guy must be really good.
I wonder if he's on Twitter. And if he is, when we post the link to the podcast, we'll tag him. And I could see him liking it. He'll be like, somebody remembers me.
Yeah.
We do remember you, Wendell Cooley.
So we have Beyond the Squared Circle with all these candid photos. I do like this picture here of Bobby Eaton. Says he's clowning around with Bobby Eaton, you know, because Jim Cornette apparently wrestled Baby Doll in a bunch of matches.
Yeah.
And he's wearing, you know, the Andre the Giant singlet with a Under Armour shirt underneath or whatever, you know, a spandex shirt underneath. But it looks like he's actually just training.
Yeah, it looks like Bobby Eaton's got him in like some kind of hammer lock. Right,
or maybe he's stretching him.
Yeah.
Getting him limber. There's this thing here. A picture of Captain Lou, Charles Nelson Riley, and fucking Dirk Benedict.
Yeah.
all here. Captain Lou Albano, never at a loss for words, plays a scene from the new wrestling movie Body Slam.
Yeah, I was going to say that that's like from Body Slam. So
that's not a good movie.
I'll
watch it again, but it's not good.
Body for a wrestling movie, it was okay.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, yeah, I take it back. Actually, it's better than No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
Don't at me.
Yeah.
But definitely better than No Holds Barred, because that movie, you know, it actually had like a very good, like, it was about a band that also played at the same time as the wrestling. And also, like, fucking what's his face is in it? The Tonga Kid and
Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper's in it. I think it's Barbarian in it too. As like one of the guys.
Yeah, I think he's one of the bad guys.
Maybe I'm thinking about the A-Team episode with them in it, because there was a whole Hulk, you know, obviously the Hulk Hogan, you know, Mr. T connection there, and
yeah, I
think, like, he, like, there was a part where Rick Valentine, or he's wrestling Hogan's wrestling Valentine and stuff.
Yeah, Body Slam, like, as a movie, it's not good, but for wrestling movies, it's probably the best one. Now that I think
we're gonna, is that on DVD?
Yeah, I gotta imagine it is. Yeah, like, I can imagine anyone could look up Body Slam and figure out a way to watch it.
Gotta seek that out.
You know, it used to be on HBO all the time.
Oh yeah, so. It was one of those movies you could watch during the day.
Yeah, who's Brutus Beefcake posing with?
He's posing with Craig Huggins. He is a ring announcer in Australia.
Oh, okay.
That is a nice mullet. And then we have...
I didn't know that the mullets caught on in Australia, so that's
good. Oh, yeah. I'm certain they're probably still there.
I mean, yeah, Mel Gibson had one in the 80s, so that makes sense. Yeah.
And then we have some other stupid pictures. I don't know. Just some kid here dressed like the Road Warriors. You got Mad Dog Vachon. You got...
Mad Dog Vachon holding a photo of himself.
And yeah.
Like, he's just looking at it like this is the greatest thing ever.
Upon his retirement of actor wrestling, Mad Dog Vachon was given a large portrait of himself by family and friends.
Yeah, and the portrait
that's not even a painting, though. It's just a picture.
Yeah, it's like, a picture of him.
Big of a deal.
And there's way too much headroom in the photo.
It is.
So here's what I think. There was a photo. He was with other people, and they just cropped him out and blew it up. And they went to, I guess it was Bikinko's at the time, and were like, hey, we just want from the neck up just of him and make it big. And they were like, okay, we could do that, but it's going to look off center. And they're like, we don't care.
This is for his retirement.
And like, don't you have a nicer photo? No, just do this one. This is what we want.
And then we have lastly a picture of Silo Sam, who we've talked about here on the show before. He is standing in behind Stu Sachs, who is 6'4", and then he's standing behind Bill Apter, who is 5'8", and it's just showing how big they are. So, very candid. Ratings. Let's talk about the ratings. Really, Wendell Cooley, number 10 in NWA.
He just took Ric Flair to the limit. He deserves a spot in the top 10.
Yeah, he does. Number 3 in Continental, but number 10 in NWA, so good for him.
Overall, he's the overall.
Is he on overall, too? No.
No, I mean, just overall NWA.
Hmm.
Because, like, yeah, that's because, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got the women's ratings. Really nothing else to sell out there. Dick Slater, number 7 in the WWF. This is back when he was getting pushed for that couple months. He was already gone by 87. He didn't last very long. Let's see, anything? I'm trying to see if there's anybody else here. I never know who Sheik Abdullah is for here in the Continental. I feel like it's not a Persian guy. It's somebody else.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel bad not knowing that. Yeah, and Crusher Yurkov, number 4 world class. He is up there in the rankings, making his presence felt. And then you have...
Such a disappointment, Crusher Yurkov.
I don't really
They still have him billed as from New Jersey. They don't have him billed as from
the USSR. That's right. They don't. They hadn't put him in Moscow or Leningrad or something like that. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, they didn't do good here, guys. We got our most popular. I do want to point out, so Roddy Piper, most popular.
Yeah.
More popular than Hogan. So it goes because it was Piper, Hogan, Dusty Luger, Hacksaw, Terry Taylor, Lance Von Erich.
Oh, Lance Von Erich cracking the top 10 most popular.
Yeah, he's more popular than
Barry Windham and Nikita Koloff.
This was probably Fritz being like, hey, why don't you throw him in there? Here's a couple bucks. Because we need to push the kid. And then they
were like, well, how about we throw one of your sons? Put Lance in there.
Yeah, you know, he needs a push. But then we'll make, I'll out him later on TV. It's okay. Like, you know, because he's not Von Erich. Barry Windham, Nikita Koloff, and Steve Williams. And for the hell of it, most hated. Paul Orndorff, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, Terry Gordy, Jim Garvin, Colonel DeBeers, Jake Roberts, Eddie Gilbert, Rick Rude, and Nikita Koloff. I think Colonel the Beard should be the number one most hated every episode, every issue. I just want to put that out there.
Because, yeah, he should have been. Yeah.
Because he is the most racist idiot.
Yeah.
And really, I guess that's it. Because the rest of it's just a bunch of
the continues from the previous and stuff like pages. That. And yeah, that is it. And then anything on the back? No, just advertisements for being a locksmith.
That was always there. You can always be a locksmith. Okay. Locksmiths make good money for not probably doing. Maybe I shouldn't say not doing a lot of work because you got to learn how to.
I don't think they make that good of money, to be honest. Because I knew a guy who was a locksmith and he was always broke.
Oh.
He also worked as a waiter at Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Oh, I take it back.
Yeah.
Don't be a locksmith, guys.
Yeah. Or be a locksmith and just be like busy at it. Yeah. Be a locksmith in a city that doesn't have a lot of locksmiths. That's the key.
Yeah. Because
like I feel like if you're a locksmith in Los Angeles, chances are there's a lot of other locksmiths. So you got competition. But find a place that needs a locksmith and be a locksmith.
Or just be a freelance one. If you have a good paying gig and pick up some extra cash on the side. Because you make like – I remember the one time I got locked out of my place in North Hollywood and $75 just to get in.
Wow.
It's like I had $75 right in that guy's pocket.
Yeah, and if that's the only lock that he picked all week, then there you go. Yeah. So, but if he picks few of those a day, you're making a pretty good buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week's issue. February 1987's issue of The Wrestler from February 1987. It is a very poignant issue because of the Magnum TA stuff, but there's some other stuff in here that's interesting. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we talked about Magnum TA. I've had this magazine for a while. I've always liked the cover. It always stood out to me.
It's a very stark cover.
So with what happened at Disney World this week, I figured this would be a good week to talk about it.
I'm also going
to
say The Wrestler is probably, in my mind, the best of the aftermags.
Better than Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
See, I always liked Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated is okay, but this one's pretty good too. Yeah. I think introducing is a great feature.
Yeah.
And there's just some good stories. So I feel like the stories are always better. Because this is like their first one.
Yeah.
You know, this was the one that started it. And then, you know, Inside Wrestling came around, then PWI came around.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this one, yeah, this one's great. So, you can find myself on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, as well as Instagram at Angry Hero Sean, as well as my other podcasts, Worst Collection Ever, on Apple Podcasts. You can check that out wherever you get that, or Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweatpants Joe, Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
That'll help grow the podcasts. Yeah, that's about it.
And join us on Facebook, too.
Oh, yeah, we're on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. I Can Talk Kayfabe. You'll see our logo.
We'll have plenty. We have a few wrestling magazines to talk about, so we'll keep bringing those to you every week.
And if you're on Facebook, like, we'll post links to stuff that we talk about on this podcast.
I think we need to do that more often.
We do need to do it more often. Been kind of slacking with our Facebook posts lately, so we'll get those back up and
going. I just don't like Facebook. I kind of want you
yeah,
just to
do it. Yeah, that's me too. I'm kind of at this point where I deleted it off my phone for a little while.
Oh, sorry, I've been on my phone. I haven't been on my phone in a long time.
It's like, oh man, I could go on another rant about Facebook, but we're trying to wrap this up here. So fuck Facebook, but like us on Facebook.
And thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you soon.